In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 344th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode, A Look at the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. The Falcons are headed up to Florham Park, New Jersey to practice with the Jets on Friday and Saturday, and then play them on Monday night football. So are you ready for some football on Monday night with the Atlanta Falcons and the Jets? Hey, today we have a special guest with us, and you all know him if you follow the football team. His name's Will McFadden, formerly of the AtlantaFalcons.com website. Will, thanks for joining us today, and share with the fans what you've been up to. And, you know, you could tell them that you started your career with one of the AJC verticals.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, D-Led. And it's crazy how, obviously, I grew up reading all of your coverage of the Falcons and then going to intern with the AJC and starting, you know, with Dog Nation and SEC Country right when they launched. It was kind of surreal to see, you know, you, Jeff Schultz at the time, you know, getting to work right next to Chip Towers, Seth Emerson, like all these people I'd grown up reading was really unique and a cool opportunity. And then, as you mentioned, 4 years with the Atlanta Falcons, AtlantaFalcons.com, covering the team. Not necessarily the path that I thought my career would take coming out of Grady up at UGA, but was a really cool experience getting to kind of see things from the inside while still trying to maintain as much, you know, journalism or journalistic objectivity as I could. Unfortunately, all of that experience on the inside does jack squat right now because we have a whole new regime in place. I kind of wish that some of those relationships were still there, but that's what makes it fun and challenging, right, D-Led?
Yeah, no question about it. You never want to burn any bridges there. So, you try to be as nice to everybody as you can. So you were at Grady before the sports media program started, correct?
Yeah, I was there. It started the very, very tail end. I think I was a senior when it kicked off, so it was a little past my time.
Okay, yeah, I've been there for 7 years. Enjoy working with the students. It's the Carmichael Sports Institute now is the new name of it, and you know, a lot of good students have been coming through there. So, hey, let's move on to the Jets. You know, they're coached by Robert Saleh. You know, same coaching cycle, interviewed for the Falcons, got the job at the Jets, kind of like the cycle before where Dan Quinn got the job and Todd Bowles got the Jets job. So, you know, they've been on the same path of moving in coaches and so forth. But the Jets have been under a little bit more turmoil. But 4-13, but a lot of optimism in New York. I heard Brian Costello from New York Post on Sirius today, and they really like the way that Saleh handles the team and how he puts positive, things out there in the air for his team that's clearly on the rebuild. What are your thoughts on Coach Saleh in there as he went 4-13 in his first season last year with the Jets?
Yeah, you know, I think when I look at the Jets, they remind me a lot of this Lions team that the Falcons just played, in the sense that both organizations are on that same timeline as the Falcons, but they both really kind of started this rebuild, which is a taboo word here in Atlanta, but they started that rebuild last year. And now you're starting to see, I think, some of that optimism bear fruit, because both organizations are in very different places than I think they were when they made these changes to hire Dan Campbell or to hire Robert Saleh. And you're starting to see their imprints a little bit on these respective teams. Robert Saleh, obviously a defensive guy. I think the Jets' defensive line is one of the deepest in the league. I mean, it really is quality kind of up and down the depth chart there for their defensive line. And then offensively, when you go with your quarterback in kind of the first year of that rebuild, you're going to want to surround him with talent. You're going to want to maximize that kind of market inefficiency that is a rookie quarterback contract. And I think they've done a really good job doing that offensively while also relying on Robert Saleh, Jeff Holbrook, kind of these guys who know football defensively to get the right guys in here. So yeah, I think the Jets have a lot of reason to be optimistic, kind of like the Lions have reasons to be optimistic. I don't think either of these teams are playoff contenders right now, but it's a really good test for the Falcons to get kind of these two organizations that they essentially started the race with, but took different paths to get here. So I like these two preseason opponents, and the Jets are going to be a much different test than I think the Lions were.
All right, we'll come back to that D-line. We'll look at that in depth when we'll get to Carl Lawson here. But the second item for us here with regards to the Jets is Zach Wilson got hurt in the exhibition game. Surgery was today. They deemed it a success. He's a quarterback. The Falcons played the Jets last year over in London. Could have, you know, jumped out to a big lead, then held on for dear life and pulled out the game. But that was a Kyle Pitts coming out party type of game, or that one or Miami. But either one, those are two of his better games.
Yeah.
But without Zach Wilson, the Falcons are going to face veteran Joe Flacco, depending on how much they play. Him and Chris Strevere, and then Mike White. He's a kid that came in through for that big game last year when Zach Wilson was out. And Brian Costello was saying today that, hey, Joe Flacco looks great in an exhibition season where they're throwing against vanilla defenses, and he knows where the ball's supposed to go all day. So he's cutting up the Jets defense up there. And if he plays, that'll be a good test for the Falcons if he does. Well, he's going to have to play in the scrimmages. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to see him some. Maybe you're going to see these other two kids. But if I'm the Falcons, I would request that I see some Joe Flacco, because he's going to know the coverages, and you're going to be able to teach off of it. What are your thoughts, Will, on the Jets' offense and the kind of turmoil at quarterback as the Falcons get ready to go practice with these guys?
I completely agree with you in that I would love to see Joe Flacco out there against kind of these starters. I don't think the Lions did anything tricky last week, but it was very clear that the Falcons had some communication issues on their side, some assignment lapses that they need to get worked out. And Joe Flacco, like kind of Matt Schaub was forever for the Falcons, just gives you a really high floor, especially in the preseason, of competency when he's running the offense. And that, I think, would benefit the Falcons immensely, because that's what the preseason is for, right? It's the on-ramp to the regular season. You want to see, you know, an efficient quarterback. You want to see a quarterback who's going to take risks. You want to see a mobile quarterback, just to give you these different looks to get ready for the regular season. So I think that Joe Flacco, it would have been fun to see Zach Wilson out there. Of course, you know, you just kind of want to kind of see the young rookie, or not rookie, the young second year player out there at quarterback. But to prepare the Falcons defense, Joe Flacco is great. The other two guys, you know, Mike White is a little bit of a similar play style to Zach Wilson. So the Falcons will get a little bit of a test with a quarterback who likes to make some things like happen outside of the confines of the play call. They like to scramble. They like to run around, which the Falcons have gotten a lot of practice against this training camp with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ritter. So, you know, I think, as Dean Pease would probably say, it's more about the Falcons. It's more about them doing their stuff right. And for that reason, I think Joe Flacco is going to be a really good kind of test to go against, because he's going to give them, you know, things that they can work with. They're going to be able to get a lot of reps doing probably what they want to do against Joe Flacco. So, it, you know, I would have rather seen Zach Wilson, but Joe Flacco is not the worst for a preseason game.
Yeah, no question about it. The Falcons will likely face Joe Flacco at some point. So I asked Coach Arthur Smith if it would help the young defense to face this veteran quarterback who came into the league the same year Matt Ryan did.
I mean, there's advantages. I mean, every quarterback we face, there's different challenges D-led. So we'll see what they throw at us when we go up there and practice against them. But it doesn't matter. I mean, that could change the first snap of the game. You got to have contingency plans.
All right, so I think it was too early in the week. Once she thinks about it some more, I'll double back. I think they want to see some Flacco, to get the best work they could possibly get. And I did ask a couple other players. Nobody kind of didn't register or resonate with them. I asked Rashawn Evans and Dee Alford. They hadn't gotten that far clearly in the week with a couple more practices before they get up there. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll see what quarterback will be on hand to take part in these practices and the exhibition game on Monday night. Now, they're all excited in New York, and it goes in cycles up there. It doesn't last long when they get excited, but they're excited right now about this draft class. And, for good reason. They drafted Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati 4. They got Garrett Wilson, who, out of Ohio State, who some thought was coming to Atlanta at 8, but he went to the Jets at 10. And they drafted running back Breece Hall out of Iowa State, who's considered the top running back in the draft. They got him in the second round at 36. So the New York people think they got the best cornerback, the best wide receiver, and the best running back in the draft. And they had 3 first-round picks, and the third one was on, we know who this kid is, Jermaine Johnson II out of Florida State by way of Georgia, who would have made the Georgia number even higher had he not transferred. So he's he'll come up under our defensive line pass rush deal. We'll see where he's at on their depth chart. And Will, do you know anything about these other guys? Jeremy Reckert, tight end, Ohio State. I watch a lot of Ohio State ball, and I don't remember this young man. Max Mitchell, a tackle out of Louisiana. So that's Louisiana Monroe, so we probably didn't see him either. And Michael Clemens, a 4th-round pick, defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. What do you think of the draft class that the Jets put together here? Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh with this draft class.
Yeah, I think the big three that you mentioned, obviously it's tough to beat kind of a three-man kind of trifecta like that, especially at the positions that they got him, right? Corner, receiver, running back. Those are high-profile positions, even if coaches won't necessarily say if I'm starting a team. Maybe corner would be the one of those three that a team would maybe start with. But usually you want to build from the inside out, right? But the Jets are kind of, like I mentioned, good on the defensive line. Their offensive line had a pretty solid year last year, so I think there's reason for optimism there and with the moves that they've made to supplement that so far this offseason, which allows them to go give Zach Wilson these weapons, right? Garrett Wilson is maybe the most athletic, purely athletic receiver in this draft class, right? Drake London has the size, has the catch radius, has the contested catch background. Chris Olave, smooth, a little bit more like Devontae Smith, but Garrett Wilson was just the spark plug. He was just the twitched up athlete, get him the ball in space, let him do a lot of stuff, almost like Odell Beckham, like that type of player. So I really like adding him to this offense because I think there's going to be a lot of quick passes. And then you've got Breece Hall, who really can stick his foot in the ground, get north and south, and disappear. Like, he has great straight line speed. So if this team's able to spread defenses out with these three receiver looks, create some space for Breece Hall to really attack, I like that as a little bit of an approach offensively. You mentioned Jeremy Reckert. I don't think he's going to, from day one, be great, but he is somebody that I thought the Falcons could target maybe in that 4th, 5th round. He went a little bit earlier. He's a decent receiver, but not like a Travis Kelce type tight end at all. But then, so Sauce Gardner on the other side, knowing how Robert Saleh likes to build his defenses, right? He likes to attack with 4. He wants to get pressure with his front 4, and his defensive line is going to really set the tone. If they're able to generate the pressure that he really wants to, that allows a player like Sauce Gardner to be aggressive the way that LSU's corners like to do. Get up in a receiver's face, press him, kind of be a gnat all around him, make some plays on the ball, and generally just kind of dictate to a receiver how the game is going to go. So it makes a lot of sense, all of their picks. There are some question marks for every single player that, you know, I don't have to go into because this is not a New York Jets podcast. But from a kind of an overview, I really like the young players that they've added to a roster that, again, I think is on the upswing.
Well, all right. Yeah, that is you got to see them play now. And you got the old 3-year rule where, you know, you want to you know, wait to 3 years to grade them. Nobody ever does that anymore. We got instant grades on a lot of these guys. So, but yeah, that's why they're excited. Now we're going to we're going to come back and talk about Carl Lawson and the defensive front we mentioned, then go over the cuts today as our items number 4 and number 5. But right now we're going to toss to the break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast with special guest Will McFadden. We are going over our preview in the New York Jets, whom the Falcons will practice against on Friday and Saturday, and then play them on Monday Night Football at 8 o'clock. So the Falcons will practice Thursday. They have Wednesday off, and then they'll go straight to the airport and head straight to, I don't know if they're going into Teterboro or Newark, but they're flying. Pretty sure they're flying private and charter for sure, definitely. But yes, I don't expect to see them at Newark International when I'm landing. Will, where would they fly? You used to fly with the team.
Oh no, nah, man, they wouldn't let us on charter. We were what? Commercial, baby.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I used to see you on some commercial. Okay. Yeah, they. Well, that was old school right there. But hey, anyway, let's get to the line here. Will mentioned it earlier about how stout the Jets front is. And one of their guys is coming back from a ruptured Achilles, and we know him. It's Carl Lawson from Auburn, Milton High here in Alpharetta. He was signed last year to a 3-year, $45 million deal and is raring to go. So I don't know how much action he's going to get up there, but he's one of their edge rushers. He's listed number 1 on the depth chart. But the guys in the middle, Solomon Thomas and Quinnen Williams, or, you know, kind of what makes this defense maybe has the potential to be special. They are listing John Franklin Myers as the other edge. It looks like they're listing a 4-3 nickel kind of combination here with Michael Carter II as a nickel. But staying up front with the line. Then the second group, it's a couple veterans that have been around the block, Vinnie Curry, Sheldon Rankins, we know him. Vinny's old Marshall guy, Sheldon, and Vinny's from Georgia. Sheldon too, but you know that he was with the Saints also. Shepard and then Jacob Martin, and then they have Jermaine Johnson listed as the third team edge rusher behind Lawson and Vinnie Curry. So you know though that's where he's at. He's a first round pick. He's not gonna stay back there long, and so those are. You know, Quinnen Williams and Solomon Thomas, Carl Lawson, and probably Jermaine Johnson is what they're going to play with at some point during this season. So would you like to talk a little bit more about how the potential of this defensive front and how it should test the Falcons' offensive line, who came off of, a fairly decent performance against the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I think that the starting offensive line, especially, you know, frankly, aside from Chris Lindstrom and Jake Matthews had that one play that was against Aiden Hutchinson that obviously went viral. Outside of that, I think he did pretty well. But it was Kayla McGarry, it was Elijah Wilkinson and Matt Hennessy that I thought really played pretty strong. But the key here for the Jets defensive line is, yeah, they've got great starting talent. I mean, the four that you mentioned there, if even Jermaine Johnson or John Franklin Myers, like, take your pick, that's a really, really solid kind of front four for your defense. But again, we're talking preseason, right? So the depth almost matters just as much. And they have maybe the deepest group of defensive linemen in the league. I mean, you look down at a guy like Bradley Anae, who, mm-hmm. you know, really didn't get a lot of run recently, but he was somebody who was pretty coveted as a little bit of a rusher coming out of college a couple of years ago. Vinnie Curry, same thing. Bryce Huff, like, these are guys who, Jabari Zuniga, like, these are all guys that we were talking about in their respective draft classes as players who could help whatever team they end up on. The Jets have seemingly all of them. So I think that this is really going to give the Falcons a solid evaluation just across their depth chart when it comes to the offensive line. Now, you know, knowing or having the thoughts that we have maybe about that depth chart, that may not be the best case scenario for Desmond Ridder, you know, late in the game. I would surely give the advantage to New York kind of the later the game goes on. Their defensive line will probably have a sizable advantage over the Falcons offensive line, or certainly their reserves. But I think that's honestly the case throughout the night, because the Jets defensive line is legit. So just in the same way that the Lions offensive line last week was really strong, and we saw that it gave the Falcons starting defensive group some problems, I would expect kind of the reverse to happen this time, with the defensive line maybe giving Atlanta's offense throughout the night consistent issues.
Yeah, and there's a no question about it. That's something to look forward. That's something to look after. That's true, because they sure need a test, and that will you know, you. I don't remember if you were here when the Bengals came up to play Coach Mike Smith's team, and this was like 2013. It kind of signaled that, hey, this is going to be a long season for you. The Bengals came up here with Geno Atkins and all those guys, and they beat the Falcons up. They were 13-0. Me and John Clayton were watching practice together, and, you know, the Falcons didn't win one matchup in the one-on-ones, like, you know, three sets of one-on-ones. They didn't win not a one. So you kind of knew that that they did not have a strong offensive line. It was going to be tough sledding, and sure enough, it was. And then 14 happened, and then Coach Smith was out of here. So the inability to do the line and so forth was the downfall there. So, but we got that. We found out early on in training camp during these joint practices. So that's what we're going to be looking at. If this line, if they can handle these, this tough defensive front, that's going to be telling. I didn't do much on offense other than the quarterback, but let's look at him real quick. Well, one last defensive note, Michael Carter's the second. You got Michael Carter running back. You got Michael Carter, the defensive back. And I met his dad, you know, here in Smyrna a while back. I was like, you got the – he's like, yeah, I'm Michael Carter's dad. I was like, which one? The running back or the D-back? He's like, D-back. I was like, okay. Yeah, he went to South Paulding High out in Douglasville. And so he's on that defense over there. He'll be lining up. He's their top nickel back. You know, second year in the league, fifth-round pick last year out of Duke. So Michael Carter, you got two Michael Carters, so keep your head on the swivel if you're watching on Monday night, because you got Michael Carter, the tailback, and you got Michael Carter, the D-back. Michael Carter, yeah, I don't have the numbers. But, hey, there's another tailback for I don't have the numbers in front of me yet, but there's another tailback for the Jets by the name of Tevin Coleman. We remember him on the Super Bowl team. Devontae Freeman, 1-2 punch there. Get the Falcons all the way to the Super Bowl. A big signing for them offensively was tight end C.J. Uzoma. Norfolk Gwinnett High went to the Super Bowl with the Bengals last year. So those are some of the offensive names to look for when they practice and play. So today, our last item here before we wrap up, I'm going to ask Will a couple things at the end here about what he wants to see from the Falcons in the game. But our cuts today, the Falcons went down from 90 to 85. No real surprises here. Tucker Fist, the tight end. Rashard Smith, the linebacker, inside linebacker. Seth Vernon, the interesting punter, 6'5 guy out of Portland State. Big leg. He averaged 44 on three punts last week. So, you know, maybe he still gets a shot somewhere else. Trey Webb, the safety, they were all cut. And then cornerback Cornell Armstrong was put on injured reserve. So that was the first set of cuts. And the Falcons, Coach Arthur Smith said, hey, me and Terry, general manager Terry Fontenot, they spoke with all of the individuals. You know, they want to handle their players with dignity. And I don't know if this is the group that you tell, hey, you stay in shape, we might come back to you. Or this might have been the group where it said, hey, you know, you made it to the this level, you know, might want to move on with your life's work. But sometimes people don't want to hear that. But they did it what they thought was, you know, they wanted to do it dignified. And both parties talked to the players as they were being released. So we have the cut to 80 coming up next Tuesday. That'll be right after the game. Got to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, August the 23rd. And then your final cut down. You know, then they got Jacksonville coming in here next week. And then they'll play on the 27th at 3 p.m. afternoon, Saturday afternoon game. And then on Tuesday the 8th, or excuse me, Tuesday, August the 30th, you got your cut down to 53. And because they're so high up on the waiver wire, you know, that 53 is not going to be etched in stone. But your quick turnaround for the practice squad is you have 16 players. You can sign them by 12 noon on August 31st, the next day. So you can you know, get your practice squad guys in there. You know, I fully expect Gerard Bernhardt to be on that list after that big touchdown catch in the opener. But yeah, that's where we're at in training camp. Got two games left. It's kind of the sweet spot, the middle part of training camp, and that's where the Falcons are right now. We're going to know a lot about this team over the next 10 days. Today is the 16th. Yeah, by the 27th, we're going to know if they got that lines for real, if that rushing attack was a mirage. Drake London, not expecting him to play, so that's a big part of it. They didn't play Cordarrelle Patterson or Kyle Pitts at all. Those are big, big parts of the attack. So we need to see some of that here before we get going in the season. So, Will, last week my questions were, can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? Okay, they ran the ball pretty good on that first drive. Quadri had some good runs. I'm not a big fan of the scrambling quarterbacks, but hey, that's where we're headed, it looks like. And they didn't stop the run. DeAndre Swift got out, on him. Then they got out on him on a touchdown. So I'm giving them A for running the ball and an F for stopping the run for last game. So I still want to see those two things. Because if you can't run the ball and can't stop the ball, it's a long season for you. So I want to ask you, what are you going to be looking for? What do you want to see from the Falcons on Monday night against the New York Jets?
Well, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but I would like to see especially Marcus Mariota move the ball down the field primarily with his arm. You know, and that's not because, you know, I don't like to see him take hits during the preseason. Like, we're 3 weeks away from him taking hits from Cam Jordan in live action. Like, it's fine. If he wants to take some hits instead of going out of bounds, so be it. That's his prerogative. I just want to at least see. Now, the two throws that he had on that first drive I thought were great. The throw to Drake London, honestly one of the best throws I think I've seen from him since he's come to Atlanta. That was a great throw. The one on Kadarrell Hodge was a little bit low behind him. He's seemingly made some of those throws, at least when I've watched him up in training camp, that the accuracy tends to wane a little bit, which is exactly why I want to see, all right, meticulously kind of matriculate yourself down the field and run this offense, not like Matt Ryan used to, because Matt Ryan's his own quarterback, but at least don't just rely on 6-yard runs when you're bootlegging out, when you maybe have an opportunity for a 12-yard pass on the same play. I just want to see the decision-making evolve a little bit. And then, I mean, I think until we see Atlanta's starting defense have a solid preseason game, you know, can we at least see that? They're going to be always kind of my number one thing I want to see on defense is how does this starting defense look against the other team's ones? Because it's that needs to get fixed first before we start sitting here worrying about rotation guys coming in, fringe guys on the roster. Like, the starters on the defense continue to be on notice, and they will for me as well in this next game.
All right, Will, hey, thanks for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. I want you to tell our listeners here where they could find your work and what's your plans for the upcoming season.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Will McFadden, simple enough. My written stuff can be found at The Falcoholic with the great community that we've got over there. And then I am also the host of Believe in Falcons with former Falcon fullback Ovi Mahaley. And we will be twice a week throughout the season bringing you all the content that you cannot find here, because there's great content here. So we're not even competing with D-Led. We're fighting for the scraps below the table. But if you guys like scraps, come on over and listen to us.
Well, hey, thank you, Will. I certainly appreciate that. There's plenty to go around. Football is king, and there's you can't get enough of it. The fans love it. So, yeah, there's enough space for everybody here in the NFL sphere. Certainly want to thank you for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles. Good young man. I always, try to be, reach out and help the, folks. And Will's been hard at work on the grind here. So give that man a follow, and maybe we'll come back and have him back a couple times this season. We'll see how everything shakes out for him and us. So with that, we're gonna get out of here and start packing for New York. 5 days of New York. A lot of football, looking forward to it. Please come back to AJC.com for our coverage. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and enjoy the rest of this week and get ready for some Monday Night Football. Atlanta Falcons at the New York Jets.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.